We want to think about the verse 7 this morning for a short time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Peter was writing, as we're told in the first chapter, writing to the elect. In 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. He was writing to those who loved Jesus. In the verse 8 of chapter 1, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He was speaking to those who were redeemed. In the verse 18 and 19 of chapter 1, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was speaking in the verse 23 of that first chapter to those who were born again. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And what a tremendous thing it is to know the hand of God upon us. To those who were, in 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. And then we have in the verse 11 of chapter 2, to those who were strangers and pilgrims, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And the Apostle Peter leaves us in no doubt as to whom this letter that he wrote was addressed. Not only was it applicable to the Christians of Peter's day, but as part of the elect of God, it is even today for you and I who are the saved of the Lord. Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this letter, this book of 1 Peter. And what a message it contains for our comfort and for our consolation. You see, the reason he wrote to them is found in 1 Peter 1:6 and 7, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if it need be ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. They were under the heat of persecution, and it was very severe. You see, God allows us sometimes to go through trouble and trials to purify us and enable us to love him more, to depend upon him more. Don't feel odd if you feel down at times. You know, we're living in a day and an age when people are nearly scared to say, I'm feeling down, in case they tell you that there's something missing in your brain and there's another problem attached to you and you're odd in some way or another. Well, let me tell you, when you read God's word, you're not odd, because man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And as long as we're in this old world, we will have trouble and we will have a tremendous bother in our lives at some time or other. King David, Elijah, Job, they all had problems in their lives. In Psalm 22 and verse 11, it tells us, for trouble is near. And let's always believe that when trouble comes, it is part and parcel as a result of the fall in the Garden of Eden. Before that, there was no trouble. There was no problem. And Adam and Eve lived in perfect companionship with the eternal God of heaven. But when they sinned and the judgment of God came upon them and they were cast out of the garden into this old world, it's a different scene entirely. But there's three simple thoughts on the exhortation in our text in the verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The first is very simply this, undisputed fact, worry. Care simply means the dividing or distracting of the mind. It means anxiety or worry. And we all at some times worry, the intelligent and the ignorant, those in the church and those outside the church. Maybe you've come to the service this morning and you're full of anxiety. Life to you is anything but pleasant. And you know, we have to realize that that happens to all of us at times, as we have said before. You never thought that what has happened and has taken place would ever happen to you. And your life has been turned upside down. Perhaps it's sickness in your own life or in the life of someone that you love dearly. Maybe it's death in the family that can cause worry and anxiety. The family not doing what you think is right. Disappointment over their companion for life. Has your job changed and pressure imposed upon you that wasn't there before? Lost job, less hours, cut in salary. You know, financial worry can eat like a cancer into the very heart of the individual. And many are sick with worry about what might happen in the future. And whatever it is, you're full of care, and perhaps you can't even share it with your nearest and dearest. It rests upon your shoulders alone as a burden. If you have no worry in the past or the present, you can be sure that it'll come in the future. You know, if this is how we feel today, then as a Christian, we dishonor our Heavenly Father. But let me say this. It is not easy to always honor God. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. We have a sovereign heavenly Father who looks after us. Worry, of course, is harmful to our physical and spiritual being. Modern research has linked worry to the breakdown of resistance to disease, especially the digestive system. Also, it affects the nervous system. It causes sleepless nights. There's a lack of joy or happiness in everyday life. And because of the nature of worry, Peter tells us to cast it on the Lord. Now, casting, of course, implies effort on our behalf. A fisherman, when he goes to the river and he casts out his fly, he has to put effort into it. And he has to direct it to where he thinks the fish is, so that the fish will see it and jump up and take it. Of course, years ago I had an uncle, and he's gone now for many years, and when he went to the river, it wasn't a fishing rod he took, it was a bucket of lime. And he threw it into the river, and then he run down the river, and he caught the fish as they come up to the top of it and put it in the bucket and took it home. Of course, in those days when the fish was caught, it was for food. It wasn't for destruction or anything else like that. But when the fisherman goes, he's casting his line. And you know, you and I need in these days to take our cares and cast them upon the Lord. You see, drugs will help to calm the mind, and allow it to heal, but are never the total cure. Man needs to go to the Lord Jesus with all his cares. And if you're here this morning and you're full of care and you're depressed and you're down in the dumps, then go and get into a room alone and tell God how you feel. And say, Lord, I'm beat. Help me. And thank God he'll draw near to you and he will help you. What a tremendous thing it is to be able to come and to cast all our care. Not some of the cares. And you know, the other thing is very simple. When you do go and cast it, you should leave it there. And that is a very difficult thing. We're only human, after all, and we're inclined to go and tell the Lord we're in trouble. We need your help. And instead of leaving it there, we bring it back with us. And we're not out of the room until we're complaining again about how bad we are. But then we have not only an undisputed fact of worry, but we have an unchangeable friend, the Lord Jesus. Casting your care upon him. All your care. When the cares of life come flooding in upon us, the Bible teaches us not to carry the heavy load by ourselves, but to take it to our Heavenly Father and cast it upon him. In Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Lord Jesus is a friend that we can be sure that will always be there for us 24/7. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And as a child of God this morning, no matter what life throws at you, no matter how down you get with the circumstances around you, never forget that the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior and your Lord, he is with you all the time. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Who said that? The eternal Son of God. The one who changes not. And Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, be not consumed. I urge you today to cast all your care upon the Lord Jesus, for he is your Savior, he's your shepherd, and he's loving and eternal friend. What a tremendous Savior we have. What a tremendous God we have this morning. Ordinary people, saved by God's grace, become children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we have God as our eternal Heavenly Father. We have the Lord Jesus as our shepherd. And we need as Christians today to get a right view of the eternal God whom we praise and worship and adore. And you know, the only way in which we can get to know God is when we spend time in his presence. And that means reading the Bible every day. That means praying every day. You see, whenever we pray, we talk to our Heavenly Father. And when we read the Bible, he talks to us through his word. And when we read the word, we get help from the Bible and encouragement from the Bible. And when we go and commune with him, and he's waiting for us to praise him, but he's also waiting us to cast our cares upon him. You see, the world tells us to look into our mind. It tells you that we can change with our own ability. Counselors, of course, we have today for everything. But God says, look up. Don't be looking in. A wee woman that I knew very well, and she was very godly wee woman, and her husband and her was saved late in life, and then he took cancer and he died, and she found it very difficult to cope, and she would get into a sequence of, if I had have done this, and if I had have saw this, and if I had have seen this, and so on. She used to ring me nearly every day. But some wise character in the doctor's surgery, where she went to, decided to send her to one of these bereavement counselors. And of course, a few hours later, she was on the phone. She says, "Rolly, I went in, and she said to me, 'You're missing Jack.'" She says, "I am missing Jack." "Well," she said, "you needn't miss Jack because he's here in the room with you." And she says, "I just looked at her and said, 'My Jack's not here. My Jack's in heaven.'" And walked out and left her. You see, my dear friend, we have got to get the perspective right. And we need help. But when we need help, what do? We don't look into ourselves. Because there's nothing in ourselves that, maybe you think you're great. But most people know that when you look into your own heart, that you should be feeling better and you should be able to do better. But what do we need to do? Look up into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a tremendous thing it is whenever we look up. In Isaiah chapter 43, we have there, and the verses 1 and 2, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." And here we have again the fear not. And that's something we should think about and underline. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And isn't that tremendous this morning? That you and I, whenever the problems of life come and the worries come, to know that he is with us each step of the journey. What a tremendous, unchangeable friend that we have. God always tells us to look to Jesus for our help. You and I, of course, as children of the King of Kings, cannot expect to be able to cast our cares upon him if we don't live close to the Lord. So many of God's children today are living defeated Christian lives because they seldom spend time with the Lord in Bible reading and prayer. They fall into private and open sin. They have little or no conscience of their sin and still continue to act out life as a spiritual Christian. Brother and sister in the Lord this morning, you cannot expect blessing in your life, in the life of your family or the church, until you confess your sins, confess your lack of reading and praying, make restitution where necessary. And that's not easy. Perhaps your worry today is due to some sin in your life. Maybe you cannot cast your care upon him because you know he knows about your sin. And that is something that a lot of people have. I remember an elder in one of our churches saying that he took an awful severe pain. The doctor couldn't find out what was wrong. They sent him to the hospital and the hospital couldn't find out. And he says, "Ronnie, I wasn't long in that hospital bed, lying, looking up until I realized what was wrong." He says, "There was sin in my life and I hadn't been willing to do away with it." And he said, "On that hospital bed, I had time to look up. And he said, I fought a battle and I cried unto God and confessed my sin. And he says, the pain left me within a short time and it has never come back." He says, God chastised me. He put me in that position for that particular purpose of bringing me back to the Lord. And thank God, we need in these days to have a channel of communication that is not blocked between us and our God. And I urge you, if you are backslidden away from the Lord, you haven't been reading and praying as you should, get on your knees before God and stay there until your forgiveness, and cast your care then upon him. And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know, that is a tremendous verse in the Bible. And yet there are so many of God's people and they ignore it. A man came to me one day and he says, Ronnie, I committed adultery. He says, but it wasn't me. He says, it was the devil. He says, aye, you're talking a load of nonsense. The devil tempted you. God gave you a way of escape, but you went and committed adultery, and until you confess it, as David of old confessed it, then you will receive forgiveness. And my dear friend, as a Christian, if you sin, don't be scared to come and say, Lord, I have sinned against thee, and confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Take Psalm 51 and verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. What a tremendous God we have to come to and bring all our cares to and know that he is willing and ready to help us in every aspect of our lives. And then finally we have unfailing love, saving love. For he careth for you. How do we know that the Lord cares for us? By his great love for us. What a wonderful thing to know the saving love of God in our hearts. To know that God is love is wonderful. But to know that God loved us savingly and sent the Lord Jesus to purchase salvation for us upon the cross of Calvary is a tremendous joy to our hearts. To know that we're continually on the mind of God. What knowledge? In Psalm 40 and verse 17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Isn't that wonderful? You're sitting in Market Hill Free Church this morning, and the Lord is thinking about you. The Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. He watches over us. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. He restrains our enemies. He is touched with our troubles. He gives temporal and spiritual blessings. He hears and answers our prayers. He calls us sons and daughters. He died for us on the cross of Calvary. And the wonderful, wonderful blessing is that it's an everlasting love. In Jeremiah 31, 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. My dear Christian friend, it is a small thing for God to expect you and I to live daily in fellowship and love for our Lord and Savior after all that he has done for us and will continue to do. When we are ill, of course, and we can't read or pray, for a time the Lord will carry you. And you know, sometimes I went to a hospital one time and visited a lady. And she was in an awful state. She says, you know, whoever had been in with her before said, you know, you need to be reading more of the Bible and praying. And she just had a stroke. And I said, forget it. She says, what do you mean? I said, who carried you when you were a child? She says, my father and mother. Well, I said, you have a heavenly father that will carry you now. And when you're fit to read and pray again, then you can do it. but I said, now he will carry you. She closed the Bible over and she wept. She says, I couldn't even think. And I was trying to read and trying to pray, and I couldn't do it. Was I forget it. The Lord carries us. Isn't that wonderful? That we have a heavenly Father, that whenever we can't come to him even in prayer, if we're so ill, he'll carry us, and then he'll give us the desire again when we're able to do that. As a child of God, this morning, will you not stop worrying and cast all your cares upon the Lord, because he careth for you? You see, if you would go to God's medicine cupboard, you know, when you go to houses, most houses today in the world in which we live, if you go to the medicine cupboard and open it, the boxes will more than likely land on the floor around you, because everybody has a medicine cupboard full. Well, if you go to God's medicine cupboard when you're down, Psalm 37 is God's medicine cupboard in the Psalms. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. Rest in the Lord, cease from anger, and underline those verses and rest upon them and quote them and say, Lord, you have said, I'm to commit my way unto thee. I'm to cease from anger. I'm to rest in you. And I'm to fret not. And God will help you. And he will bless you. I wonder, is there someone in the service this morning and you're not saved? Oh yes, you know that you need to be saved. But as yet you haven't come and put your trust in him. You have no friend this morning to cast your care upon. You've earthly friends, yes, who are good, but they don't understand you fully. You need a Savior, and you need the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you know what he says to you this morning? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And if you're prepared to come this morning and recognize that you're a sinner, recognize that you're lost, and that you cannot save yourself, and that you will come and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart, cleanse away my sin, make me a child of thine. And immediately you come and cry unto God, what will he do? He will save you. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And you know, that is tremendous, that we have that assurance in our heart this morning, that if we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will not cast you out. Why do you not come? Why is it that people know they need to be saved, they know that God will save them, and yet they won't come? Well, I'll tell you, it's very simple. There's a third person involved, and it's the old devil. And the old devil says, well, you know, you're not as bad as the person down the road. You're not as bad as so-and-so. And look what you've done. You're a good wife. You're a good husband. You're a good father. You're a good mother. And look at all the good charitable works you do and everything else. And the old devil says, you're too young. Wait till you're older. When you enjoy life, wait till you're older, and then things will be great. You can come then. But my dear friend, God says, come now. Behold, now is the day of salvation. How do you know that you'll be here tomorrow? I trust you will be here tomorrow. I hope you'll be back tonight as well. But I trust you will be here. But there is no guarantee. And when the accidents that are happening at the present time, you need to be sure that you're ready if you're a young person. If you're an older person, well, you realize that the time's getting short. And the day of our departure is set by the Lord. But above all, you need to be saved. Will you come this morning and put your trust and faith in him? I trust you will. And if you're come and burdened down, go home, get down on your knees in your bedroom, close the door and tell the Lord how you feel. And cast your burden upon him. Doesn't say he'll take away your problems, but there's one thing certain, that he will go through your problems with you and he'll help you to cope with it. What a tremendous God we have. Let's pray.